really placed in my heart is some of you that follow me on Facebook, I posted what the Lord has placed in my heart is that God is getting ready to turn around and face our circumstance. And then he began to show me how he would chase us down when we go down a road that may not be the road that we're supposed to be on. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but he will chase us down so that we don't miss what he has for us. I don't know about you, but I know that we have made some mistakes in our times. Have we not? Have we not? Okay. I know your angels in here. Your halos are shining so bright. You don't make mistakes. Everything's just fine and dandy. I'm not talking to you then. I'm talking to the one next to you that the halo's a little, you know, to the side a little bit. It's got a little bit of binged up, you know, danged up. It's got some tarnish on it. You know, it's got some rust on it. Because I'm talking to the saints of God that have been through some stuff. Have you been through some stuff? Have you been through a storm? Have you been in a place where you have cried out to God, but he hasn't showed up? I'm just saying that there's times when God purposely will not answer your prayers. We got quiet in here, didn't I? It got quiet. Lord, we're going to need some intercessors in here today. Pastor, we came because it's your birthday today. Why are you going to talk to us like that? God answers my prayers. Because I've got that direct line. How many of you feel like every time you pray, there's like God needs to pick up that phone. Say, okay, Colleen, I hear you. What do you need, Colleen? Right? Or, okay, Rose, I hear you, Rose. You're asking again. What? Okay, here, I'm going to do it, Rose. Okay? Right? And we ask God these things like he already knows before we even ask it. He knows exactly what we're going to ask and how we're going to ask. I said, how we're going to ask. Now, my wife, God bless her, I love her. When my wife wants something done, my son that is sitting back there, he's going to probably not say a word because we do ride home with my wife. When my wife wants something done in the house, it's usually, baby, can you take care of this? But what if I don't respond to the request? How is the next question going to be? It's no longer, baby. It's no longer, sugar. It's no longer, man of God. It's look at here. Martin Antonio Perez. Oh, no, that's mom. I'm sorry. Oh, flashback. You know when you have a flashback, when you get in trouble, but when mama asks a question, and if you don't answer the first time, okay, maybe she got a little bit more patience than I do. Baby, did you hear me the first three times? Baby, I need you to, you know, take care of this for me. But when you still don't get to it, now you're working on the nerve. We all got them. Don't be looking at my wife like, ooh, she got some nerve. You got some too. Because if truth be told and your message was to be told, how would our reactions be to some of the things that have not been done because we asked nicely the first time? Look, since you don't want to do it, I'll just go ahead and do it myself. But you ain't going to like it when it's done. You won't like it in the process as I'm getting it done. You're going to know I'm upset when I start putting the dishes away and you hear bam, slam, bam, slam, bam. All the cabinets are closing real hard. You're going to know that somebody's upset. But what if we go to God and ask God for specific things that we want answered? Hello? We want God to answer our prayers because we are his children, are we not? Are we God's children? We are his children? But you mean that God doesn't answer us all the time? Hold on, wait, hold on. There's times when we are looking for some desperation and we are asking in a way like, God, I need you to pay this light bill. I know I spent a little bit too much money at Luby's the other day. I knew I shouldn't have got that extra cherry pie, but you know, I need that bill paid. Or forget about cooking dinner and it's about the Whataburger on the way home. Maybe it's not the Whataburger. Maybe we shouldn't have been eating some of the stuff we've been eating over the week. And then at the end of the week when that bill is due, now you want to cry out to God, but you didn't cry out to God when you were saying, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to sow seed. Should we take up tithes and offering right now or just? What happens when there's some things that we do in life and we ask God to fix what we have done? And he doesn't answer. We're his children. We want God to answer us, but it's not happening, is it? But then when he does answer, you're like, oh, he did it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Love you. See you next month. But what if there's a situation in your life that requires immediate attention and he still doesn't answer? What do you do then? Whoo! So desperate when times need us to just be on our face crying out to God and a circumstance is there and we're saying, God, I need you in this moment. I need you in my life. It's nothing that I can do by myself. It requires your hand to be in it. Oh, Lord, Lord, I'm gonna need these tissues in a minute because I done been through some stuff. Turn with me in your Bible. Turn with me in your Bible. Real quick, real quick. We'll be out here in about 10 minutes after midnight. Luke 10:38. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. We'll begin at verse 38. Colleen, can you get the New Living Translation, please? Luke 10:38 through 42. Luke 10:38. Through 42 out of the New Living Translation. Colleen, when you have it, please begin.
As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught.
Who was sitting at his feet?
Mary.
Mary. All right.
But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.
Hold up right now. Hold up. Woo! Pump the brakes. Put on the emergency brake. Hold on. Jesus has come to Mary and Martha's house. And they're preparing a meal for Jesus. I want you to, don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor because then there's some of us that are like this and there's some of us that are not. And I don't want people to get upset and leave and then say, Pastor was talking about me. He knows too much about what's going on and he's putting my laundry out there in the open. But the reality is there's two different types of people. There's some that are workers and there's some that are worshipers. There's some that are so busy doing so much and the others are just sitting there doing. They're not even worshiping no more. They just do nothing. That's what Martha said about Mary. But Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is making the meal. Well, she invited him to come to eat. So there was really a reason for her to be cooking the meal, right? It's like, well, the meal's not going to cook itself, is it? Mary, how come you're not helping me? Jesus, would you tell her to come and help me? How many times have you looked at your neighbor and said, would you just do what needs to get done and quit just sitting there and doing nothing? But I find it very interesting. He didn't rebuke her. He just told her she's doing what is necessary right now. Now, we understand it to be that this is Mary, the one that is at the sister of Martha and Lazarus. But he knew her and knew her very well. He knew the family. Not only did he know the family, he loved them so much. So continue reading on.
But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it.
Mary has what?
discovered it. And it will not be taken away.
Not be taken away. Oh, can we just get to the feet of Jesus? Can we just not be so caught up with everything else that is going on in our life? Can we not be so caught up in the things that we feel that need to get done but are never done? Some of y'all live by a checklist in your life. Even though you don't write it down, you have it up here in your mind. You have the little sticky notes all over your head because you got this you got to do, that you got to do, this you got to go and do, this you got to go and see, this is what you got to complete. But you'll never take the time to be at his feet. You're more concerned about making all the lists and doing everything and making sure that gets done. But he said, she has discovered and will not be taken away from her. Where was she? At his feet. Before I go into all these stories, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot of this because I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know it's valuable. I know it's precious. Your time is precious. So is his. This is what happens later in life when Mary goes to him later. Now, he has come into their home. He is there to eat a very wonderful soul food kind of meal where it's the fried chicken, the mashed potatoes. Got that little gravy with the pepper in it. And then it's got the greens that have been steamed down with the ham hock in there. And they put a little bit of that green in there. They snap the greens, make everything nice. And oh, it's just even got that sour kind of taste to it when you, but oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, I felt the Holy Ghost when I began to read this. I began to see that not only were there was some cornbread and there was just the chicken and there was the mashed, but everything was just filling up that house with the aroma. And I believe that Jesus sat there saying, I'm so hungry, but there's someone that has grabbed my attention. Oh, see, y'all you missed that. You know me. If there's some greens, I'm at the table. If there's some fried chicken, my elbows are out. But you see, he was more concerned about the one that was at the feet. That he took his time not to run out there and go start eating. Now, if it had been Marty's gospel, Marty would have got up and said, follow me to the table. Follow me to the table. But there is something very important to understand about Mary, Martha, and their brother, who? Lazarus. He loved them. Loved them so much, he was always there at their house. How many times have you been to someone's house and they're always cooking? And they always want you to eat. That's what happened to me growing up. They always invited me. I just kept eating. Just kept eating. They had a nickname for me. What was my nickname, Mom? Hey. Man of God is what it was. Gordo. My nickname. It stuck. Love food. Loves me. My friend. Now, one of the things I found that was very interesting is that he loved them so much that every time he passed through, it was custom for him to go to their home. Do you read anything about a miracle being performed there in that home? Do you read there anywhere about a Bible lesson being taught? Where ministry was being done, other than Mary ministering to him. Now, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 11, please. John chapter 11. Go to the NIV, Colleen. John chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. She's going to read out of the NIV. At verse 1, and I'll tell her when to stop. When you're ready, read.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair.
Uh-oh, hold up. Now the Gospel of John is putting this all in this particular scripture here, and this is just the very beginning of John chapter 11. And gives a very descriptive sentence about who Mary is. Mary was who? The one that poured perfume and wiped it with her hair. She already knew to be at his feet was the best place. Here we read again in a different story that she was the one that was at his feet. Watch this. Continue reading.
So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick.
Oh, the one you love is sick.
When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days.
Now we just read in this particular scripture, in this passage where it says that in verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, oh, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Okay, so a sickness. Now, we hear a lot of people say that the sickness that is on your body is so that God can be glorified. No. We are his children. He does not give us sickness. He does not give us diseases. He does not give us anything that is unhealthy for our body. Amen? There has been scripture taken out of context, and people have preached it and used it against the people of God. So the reason why you're sick is because God's going to do something later in your life that will bring him glory. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. Multiples that were coming. My daughter's in the house. And multiple. But I want to say this. I will not put anything on my children or my grandchildren that would harm them. Amen? So let's not get this twisted. The reality is there was something bigger that was about to take place that would bring glory to God. Now watch this. Now out of this, he begins to say also, I love this part. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he rushed and got up and hurried up to their house. What does the Bible say? He stayed 2 days. Have you ever, have you ever had something that was going good just go bad? And from bad to worse? And from worse to worses? We make up our own kind of words when it gets that bad. Lord, I don't even know what to call it. It went from bad to worse. I don't even know what to do anymore. It gotten so bad. I was sitting there on the couch yesterday. You know, I was studying. My bad, I was studying. The TV. Got up to make some coffee. My brother-in-law's in town. My dad's in town from Puerto Rico. And they brought me some coffee. It says, puro. Pure coffee. I said, sure. I'm going to make me some coffee. It's about 6 o'clock in the evening. So I go in there and I start making my coffee. I put in the coffee grounds in there. I'm going somewhere. Hold on, just follow me. But when I get to the refrigerator, because brother-in-law likes to have some milk. Being a coffee drinker, he likes to have milk with his coffee. So I go to the refrigerator and my foot touches some water. That don't belong. And I hear that zzz. We've been hearing it all day. Zzz. So I unplugged the coffee machine, thinking it's a coffee machine, but it was a refrigerator. I said, this water means that something's wrong. Open up the refrigerator and the freezer. It was broke. Now, I said that my foot touched what? Water. And I was hearing the zzz. The electrical cord was in a pool of water right behind the refrigerator, and my foot was in the water. It could have went to Worcestershire's real fast. So I pull out the refrigerator, pull it away from the thing, and sure enough, that cord is right there in the water, and it's sparking, and my foot was in the water. I got to the Holy Ghost real quick. Real quiet, because they didn't know what was going on. go put on my Crocs, those rubber Crocs you put on. I'm like, well, I'm going to stand in. Oh. So I'm mopping, and I don't want to touch the water because, Lord, I got to get all this water up before I even try to unplug this thing. I said, Lord, I don't want this to get worse. I need your help. How many believe that he answered me? He answered? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't answer me. Y'all were like, oh, you're so spiritual. He didn't answer me at all. I just knew better than to put my foot back in that water. He spared me the first time, but if I had put my foot back in that water, who knows what he would have done? I wasn't going to trust to put my foot there again. So anyway, as I go through all that, I said, Lord, this ain't good. They just got here. We have a wedding that's coming up Saturday. This is just too much. It's just too much. So then I am mopping the floor, and I get a phone call from my daughter upstairs. How many of y'all get that from your kids? They text you or they call you from the other side of the house. Dad,
there's a problem upstairs.
Well, you're here? There's something wrong with the commode. Oh, Lord. It got the worsterest and worst fest of all. So now, not only am I dealing with this, I've got to go upstairs and deal with something else I really don't want to go and deal with. I'm telling you, when things go bad, they get worser. Make up your own words as you go along, you get worser. So not only were things not going right, they started going bad to worse. I said, okay, Lord, this is just bad. I don't know what to do. So I'm going upstairs to go deal with the other problem. Oh, Lord, I know it's my birthday, but hallelujah. How many times have you been put in a situation where you're cleaning or you're doing something and fixing or trying to make something better and someone's asking you questions of an end result that you don't know anything about? Look at y'all. Y'all all turn either to your left or to your right because it's not just one. We all do it. So does it fix? What's wrong with it? What needs to be done? Did you call this? Did you call that? Did the president know about it? Is he coming? He's sending the CIA? What's happening? Because it just seems like everything just gets magnified. I was like, no, this is just too much. Now I'm walking upstairs and I just hear, what will you do if I don't answer you? Now you want to answer me? So I pull my other son, Joseph, and Hannah. I said, come here. Come here. Finish dealing with that stuff. Nothing got fixed. Maybe the commode, that's it. So I said, come here. Now, can you read where it says that where they were at? Where they live? Bethany, right? Bethany. Now, how many of you know how far Bethany is from where Jesus was at in Jerusalem? It'll say in that scripture, so it's not a trick question. How far was it where Jesus was from Mary and Martha? Go down a little bit. And it's going to tell you. I'm sorry? No, he stayed 2 days. It was 2 miles. 2 miles away. So I said, Joseph, Hannah, if you were to walk a mile, how long do you think a mile would take? You're doing that speed walking. You're doing that speed walking. No, it's going to take you maybe 30 minutes for a mile. So ultimately, about an hour, 2 miles. So we hear this about Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus is sick. So they send a messenger, and then Jesus hears what's going on, that the one that he loves is sick. So he's telling now his disciples, but this isn't going to lead to death. Did Jesus just lie? This isn't going to lead to death. Jesus didn't know he was going to die? Oh, but he just said that he's not going to die. So he decides to stay 2 days. I asked my daughter, I said, how would you feel if you asked a question to God in sincere prayer to God for help and he doesn't answer you? And it went from bad to worse, to worse or worse. How would you feel knowing that he was only 2 miles away? And he stayed 2 days, but yet he says he loves you. How would you feel? Hannah, real quick. I'd be mad. I'd be so upset, like, why am I praying? Well, I ain't going to say fasting, because I'm believing and doing this church thing and trying to do right, and he don't answer. Then I asked Joseph, what would you do? Joseph said, I don't know, that's just bad. He stays 2 days at the request of someone that he loved was sick. So he doesn't come right away. How would you respond if God did that to you? If he doesn't come or answer when you ask. Now the situation gets worse. So now that they hear that he was delayed, go ahead and continue reading.
But Rabbi, they said,
a
short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back.
Stop. What did they call him? So that was saying that you always teach us something. Could have said Lord, but they said Rabbi. Rabbi, why Rabbi? Because Rabbi has an indication that he has taught them things throughout their course of their journey, throughout the course of the time that they spent with Jesus. He's been teaching them something. So now they're acknowledging, okay, teacher, where you're wanting to go back to Bethany, where they were at, where Lazarus is at, they want to stone you and kill you. Did you forget? That's what they're saying to Jesus. Continue reading.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble.
Hold up, wait a minute. Has Jesus answered you something that you didn't quite have the understanding of what he was talking about? He's saying at this moment, okay, those of you that walk at night, you may stumble, but if you walk during the day because you have light, you won't stumble. They didn't answer their question. So he was going to show them something. Continue reading.
For they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep.
Now he's telling them, now Lazarus fell asleep.
But I am going there to wake him up.
Oh, he's only asleep? Now watch what the disciples say.
His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.
Okay.
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Okay, hold up. This story is getting so interesting. First, they're telling him, we can't go back there because they want to kill you over there. And then he gives them a little Bible lesson that they still didn't. They probably looked at Jesus like, then he says, Lazarus is dead. Let's go so we can wake him. Watch who responds. I would think Peter would have responded here. You know Peter. But this one was Thomas. This is the doubting Thomas. Watch what he says here. He says, let us go so that we may die with him. Okay, wait a minute. You didn't want to go a minute ago when he was telling you that he has fallen asleep, let's go wake him, but that they were going to stone Jesus, so you didn't want to go. But now that I tell you that he's dead, now you're telling me you want to go so that you can die with him? Haven't you been around some folks in your life that have a tendency to want to tell you something in one moment, but in the next sentence or the next paragraph, they're going to tell you something that makes no sense whatsoever. They have no clue what they're talking about, but they want to bring a counsel to you, and you don't even know what they're talking about. Have you been there? When you're going through something in your life, sometimes you don't want to be seeing anybody walking with the Bible coming up to say, I got a scripture for you. I got a word for you. Sometimes you say, look, things have gone from good to bad, worse to worser. I don't need someone coming and telling me something else. And you're making no sense. Watch what Jesus tells. Watch this, watch this. Go ahead.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days.
Well, wait a minute. Hold up. This math isn't adding up. He stayed 2 days. The journey back is only
2 miles.
2 miles. So the journey back took him another 2 days?
What?
And it's only 2 miles. I'm not much of a runner, but I can make that in a day. Have you ever been somewhere where something just doesn't seem right? You've been petitioning God. Man, you've been putting seed in the ground. You've been believing God for miracles, but nothing is taking place. You're believing God that he's going to answer your prayers, but you're not seeing anything happen. I want to tell you that maybe God's not answering you because he's getting ready to do something that only God can do in your life, that it's got to be something that my God can only come in with his hand and do on your behalf. He's got to perform something that is so impossible in your life that it's not for you to believe. It's for others around you to see and believe what he brought you out of, what he brought you through. Why you've been going through the stuff you're going through is because he's getting ready to do something impossible for you. Woo! I'm trying to tell you something. I feel this. I've been feeling this in my spirit. He's about to turn and face your circumstances. Whatever you've been fighting against, whatever you've been standing and believing for, he's getting ready to come, and he's getting ready to show his mighty hand. He's going to speak into your circumstance. He's going to release some things, and he's going to say to the very stone that has been rolled over in front of you, roll that stone away. Why? Because he's getting rid of some junk in your life. Woo! If we're asking God to do something, he hasn't done it yet, it's only a setup. Just because he's delaying on the way to get it to you, that doesn't mean it's a no. Are you hearing me? That does not mean because God didn't answer or he has not done it yet that it's a no. Watch, watch. Read it. Read on.
Okay. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles
what?
From Jerusalem.
Oh, it was less than two
less.
Miles. Oh, we gave Jesus the benefit of doubt to make it within an hour, less than 2 miles. Go ahead.
And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother.
Mm-hmm.
When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him.
Okay, watch this. Watch this. Verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. Who stayed home?
Mary stayed home.
Mary stayed home. Continue reading.
Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again.
Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Go ahead.
Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
What she just said right there is, I know who you are, and I know what you've promised. I know what you have taught. I believe in everything you have said. Watch what she says. In the day of resurrection, future tense, I know he will rise. She already believed in Jesus, believed in everything he did. She's listened to all his sermons. She bought the CDs, got the podcast, watched the videos. She heard it all. She was ready.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die."
Wait a minute. Now, wasn't she in desperate need? And now her desperation and what her need was went way beyond that. Now it went to the point that it's impossible now. Correct? And then what does Jesus do? He gets now, he's standing on this road talking to Martha, giving her a Bible lesson. Isn't that what's happening? This is what he's saying. Don't make me go here. Sometimes your greatest lesson about God is outside of your comfort zone to the point you've got to go and chase him where he is. Y'all missed that one. He may not be in the church house. He may not be in your closet. He may not be someplace where you have found him before. Maybe you got to leave that place to get to where he is and then ask him a question that you already know the answer of, but you got to trust him anyway. You got to find him along the way. Go on.
Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she replied. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
What did she just say? I know that you're the Son of God. Watch.
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
Hold up, wait a minute. Is she reading the right thing? That can't be in there. That can't be in her. Is it? Because what happened was he had just answered her and she believed. What did she do? She went back home. Watch, read.
"The teacher is here," she said.
To who?
"Is asking for you."
To Mary. Did you hear in that statement earlier that Jesus asked for Mary? Mm-mm. Did you read in your Bible somewhere that he said, "Bring me Mary"?
No.
I need Mary at my feet. What did Martha do? Martha went back to her home and got the one that knew the position and said, "He's asking for you." Don't miss this. Read.
"The teacher's here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him.
He still stayed. He hadn't even moved yet. He hadn't even moved an inch closer. He was still sitting there talking with his disciples. Maybe they were asking him questions. Are we going to Mary and Martha's to have dinner again? Are we going to go? I know Lazarus is dead, but maybe are we going? And he was still in the same place that Martha had left him. And now Mary gets there. Watch.
When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet.
Say it again.
She fell at his feet.
Say it again.
She fell at his feet.
When times have gotten bad, what you first have to learn when times aren't bad, how to get into position so that when the times do get bad, you already know the position to be in so that the one that you are going to knows who you are before you even ask, before you even think, before you even get to that place. When he looked at her, he was remembering her when she was at his feet inside the house. He was remembering her at his feet when they were in another house. She poured perfume and wiped it with her hair. I know you. You know the position. You know how to worship. You know how to cry out. I know who you are based on what your patterns have been on pursuing me. But we're not in a home. We're on the road. Watch what he says to her.
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
Stop right there. Do you read where he said that about Martha? No. Where John, the gospel writer, writes about Martha, that he was deeply moved. No, but he did with Mary. And the Jews. Watch this. Continue reading.
Where have you laid him? He asked.
So, hold up. Stop right there. Would Jesus not know where they put him? Ask this question. Would Jesus not know where they put him? He would know. Matter of fact, he's known every question that he's ever asked, he's known the answer to. Why was he asking her, where did you lay him? Watch what takes place.
Come and see, Lord, they replied.
Now, who's following her now? It's Mary leading who?
The Jews.
They're not hearing this. They're not hearing it. Mary is leading Jesus to the most difficult thing in her life that is impossible to do anything about, because she knew the position. She could also ask for petition to follow her to her place of need. My God, y'all better hear this. What is taking place? I've known you when you came into my house and you supped at my house, but I was at your feet just listening and soaking it all in. I knew you when you were eating and I was not invited, but I came in and I released this oil and this perfume. And not only I wiped it with my hair. I knew you then. I pursued you then. Nothing to get glory, nothing to say I know you, nothing to say anything else, but I pursued after you regardless of my circumstance, regardless of what it looked like. I pursued you because I loved you. I pursued you because you're God. I pursued you because you're the Son of the living God. I pursued you because I know you.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me take you to the place that I need something to be done that is impossible with man, but with God, all things are made possible. Come, follow me. Your worship, your love, your understanding will make Jesus follow you to the place of impossibility so that he can make all things possible. My God, I need you to hear this. I don't know what impossibility you're facing. Maybe, my God, you haven't been able to have a child, but you will have your child, because nothing is impossible with God. Maybe your marriage is in shambles, but with God, he can turn things around. Maybe your business dealings have, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, he can change your heart. He can change your mind. He can renew in you a new spirit and remove the spirit of fear. My God, hear this, hear this. When we come to Jesus, we're not made whole yet. We're being made whole to become made perfect in him. We're not righteous, but in him we're righteous. But he's saying, I didn't give you just a little piece of me. I gave you all of me. You just need to know how to use me in the time that you need me. Come to me. Follow me wherever I'm at. Pursue after me. Because my desire is to ask you, what do you need me to do for you? Where have you laid him? Show me where you have put your problem at. And wherever you have placed it, I will call it out. My God, they get to the tomb, and there's a stone that is rolled in front of it. And he says to him, roll that stone away. Whatever is stopping you from your blessing, whatever is stopping you from getting hold of what is rightfully yours, God is saying, I'm coming to you. I'm walking to you. I'm turning to face your circumstance. I'm chasing you down. I'm following you all the way. Because what I'm about to do is not just for you, but for everybody else to see how good I am, how loving I am. The shortest scripture, the shortest sentence says that Jesus wept. And the other people perceived it to be, oh, he loved them so much. Look, Jesus is weeping. Many different scholars say that Jesus wept because he had to pull him out of glory and bring him back here. My belief is that he began to shed his tears for the one that was shedding tears that he loved. Have you ever cried out to God that your tears begin to just flow? He cries with you. He feels you. He understands your pain. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're in need of. He cried out because they were in sorrow. They were crying. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. It may seem impossible, but with him, it's always possible. He'll turn things. He'll turn things around. What you feel that couldn't be done will be done. That's how much he loves us. That even if he didn't answer you the day that you asked it, he heard it. The sickness, the messed up marriage, the children that have been acting up. He heard your prayers. You need that job, he heard that. But maybe he didn't answer you right away because he's going to show up bigger than you ever thought. Maybe the contract hasn't been signed yet, but maybe he wants you to go and pursue him like you haven't pursued him before. You don't read in scripture where Mary went other than houses to be with Jesus until this very moment that she found him on the road. How close is Jesus to your circumstance? I don't know about you, but I face some pretty impossible things in my life. But the God that I serve is very well able and possible to do great and mighty things. Couple things I want to minister to a couple people real quick. Put the end to the recording. Continue on.